From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Employers in Alaska have a lot of job openings. According to the state's latest labor data for May, about one out of every nine jobs in the state is unfilled. And that's much higher than the national rate. Both national and state numbers show job openings are still far higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. State economist Dan Robinson says one of the main causes of Alaska's worker shortage is the number of baby boomers who decided to retire early.
A disproportionate percentage, an unusually large number of those people at the 60 plus age group said, we're out, we're done, we can afford it, stock market's been good, housing market's good, I can afford to retire now, and this pandemic thing makes work difficult.
Another sizable portion of those who didn't return to the labor force post-pandemic were people in their 30s. Robinson attributes this to the persistent challenge of finding childcare. Alaska has also had more people leaving than moving to the state for the past 9 years. Robinson says people often move for a job or to improve their quality of life, both areas Alaska has struggled with over the last decade. He points to the instability arising from Alaska's government funding challenges.
We had a lot of years where we could just take the money from oil revenue and pay all of our bills. And for 10 years, some people would say 20 plus, we've struggled with, is it enough? Do we need to have taxes? Do we need to make changes to the dividend?
Robinson says that funding instability has come at the expense of many common amenities that would motivate people to move to and stay in the state.
Schools is such a big one. The universities had a tough time, so some of our students have left who would have stayed if the university had had kind of the benefits of stability, some of those kinds of things. You think of in Southeast, the ferry system, and then, you know, crime, homelessness. You think of the things that parks, trails, the things that different people value.
The pandemic accelerated Alaska's worker shortage, but with so many older workers retired and not enough to replace them, Robinson says employers need to get used to this new labor market. Meanwhile, Robinson says there may be a silver lining to the cloud of economic recession some see on the horizon. If the economy takes a downturn, employers might be less likely to lay off the workers that were so difficult to hire. Whether Alaska's high job openings rate has continued is yet to be seen. State labor data for June and July have not been released yet. Last year, when a Juneau travel organization was negotiating to host the Ironman Alaska Triathlon, boosters predicted up to 1,500 athletes would come, plus friends, family, and support staff. It would be an economic boon. The number of people to actually attempt the inaugural Ironman Alaska last Sunday ended up being well short of that. Ironman says there were 850 athletes, of whom 62 were locals. And yet, another early estimate that the event would pump $7 to $9 million into the local economy appears to be on the money. Friends Joseph Perret and Richard Secretaria came to Juneau and both finished their first full Ironman race.
It was wet all the way,
yeah,
pouring down. Rain was pouring.
Yeah.
The wind was brutal. The elevation of the climb is brutal.
Secretaria says his bike got so dirty, it looked like he was mountain biking instead of racing on the road. If you can ignore their grins, it almost sounds like the two healthcare workers from New York and New Jersey are complaining. But they really enjoyed their time in Juneau, in part because they said they were representing the Philippines when they raced. When they arrived, they introduced themselves on an Ironman Alaska Facebook group. And then
everybody's sending us messages like, oh, can we meet each other? Like, we feel like we're celebrities here.
Yeah. The support of the Filipino communities in Juneau, they rock, man.
Yeah.
Of course, they're supporting Juneau, too, with their visit.
Accommodation, registration, logistics, hotels, travel, food.
Like most of the athletes, Perret and Secretaria didn't come alone. On average, an Ironman official says each participant brought about three people with them. Perret and Secretaria brought their significant others, and they were here for 7 nights. The two couples split a hotel room and car rentals that they booked early on, before registration for the race had even opened. Besides Ironman events, they visited the Mendenhall Glacier, rode the Gold Belt Tram, ate at local restaurants.
Not to mention, you still have to buy, you know, some stuff, you know, souvenirs.
Souvenirs, yeah. Uh-huh. You've been to Alaska.
Yeah.
They figure each couple spent around $4,000 on the trip. City Finance Director Jeff Rogers was also an Ironman finisher. In a pop-up shop at Centennial Hall, a cashier rings him up for some Ironman swag.
I got a jacket and a hat because the hat I run in is falling apart, and a couple of water bottles, so... I actually tried to buy things I needed, which is amazing, rather than buy a bunch of junk I don't.
You're paying sales tax on this, I assume?
Yeah, I should be.
From hosting Ironman, Rogers is expecting a noticeable bump in the city's revenue from sales tax and the extra 9% tax on hotel rooms and short-term rentals.
I mean, I think a big weekend of a couple thousand people in town certainly has an impact, not only on city revenue, but just on the health of local businesses and certainly a lot of people who rented out their houses.
City officials and race organizers aren't aware of any formal economic impact studies underway around the event. But Melanie Shivens, who runs the economic publications firm Rain Coast Data in Juneau, she was game to share a rough economic impact estimate of her own.
To be clear, I have not done a study on this.
Right.
These are just my numbers because I obsess over all these things and I love like trying to figure these things out.
But she has done robust analyses in the past, backed by surveys and more ground truthing, to get at what the typical independent traveler spends during a visit. To build some spending assumptions for this event, Shivens looked at the Ironman schedules, participant numbers, Facebook chatter, even the weather.
And I just decided that 20% of them went on excursions, partly because we had an atmospheric river,
right,
and a lot of the excursions were closed down.
Altogether, she figures the out-of-town participants and their travel companions put roughly $8 million directly into Juneau's economy. The race organizers also spent a lot in the community. Liz Perry runs Travel Juneau, the city's destination marketing organization. It partnered with Ironman to host the event. Perry says the Ironman organizers used local vendors as much as possible, from the logo design by local artist Crystal Kakiya Whirl to the porta potties from Alaska Waste. Perry says volunteers representing local nonprofits may also get some cash grants from the Ironman Foundation. And there were a lot of volunteers. Ironman says more than 1,400.
So the entire community has benefited from this from top to bottom. So that ripple effect is going to be really impactful for the whole city.
There's also free word of mouth from all the proud Ironman participants themselves.
We are planning to come back, maybe not for the race, but for a vacation. Yeah, this is a must. I must tell my friends. I would tell everyone who I meet. Yeah, go to Juneau, go to Alaska. It's really a nice place.
Bray and Secretaria say their triathlon club back home is eager to hear how it went. Registration for next year's Ironman Alaska Triathlon in Juneau opens August 15th. One of the selling points of ranked choice voting is that it's supposed to make elections more civil. Yet as Alaska nears its very first ranked choice vote, the special election for U.S. House, the two Republican candidates are attacking each other. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
In theory, candidates of similar politics would not want to alienate each other's supporters. In San Francisco, where ranked choice voting is used in local elections, rival candidates even campaign together for mayor, each endorsing the other as the number two choice.
Vote for me and Mark Leno.
Vote for me and Jane Kim.
But in Alaska, Republican U.S. House candidate Nick Begich's ads don't sound like that.
Sarah Palin is a quitter.
She's a quitter. She quit on us. She left us. She abandoned.
In an interview, Begich sounded even less generous, saying Palin isn't the right personality to represent Alaska.
Self-aggrandizing, uninformed, intellectually discurious, and empty rhetoric would be some of those qualities.
Palin says she quit the governor's office for the good of the state in 2009 because she was beleaguered by the media. In a tele-rally, Palin said Begich is, quote, full of bull, and she says he's running for office all wrong.
It's funny because he clearly hasn't allowed ranked choice voting to impact the way that he negatively campaigns, as one would expect. When you're counting on second choice votes, it's the strangest tactic that he has. I think he's very confused.
She calls Begich a rhino, Republican in name only, in part because he supported Democratic candidates in the past. So even in this supposedly less partisan election system, evidence of bipartisanship is a weapon one Republican wields to hit back at another. Both conservatives in the race would like each other's supporters to rank them as a second, but there's a more immediate concern. Republican consultant Art Hackney is working for Begich. He put it this way.
Game number one has to be that you don't come in third, because if you come in third, you are, you know, moot to the whole thing. And it becomes your second choice votes that are the things that matter.
Jeanette Lee, Alaska researcher for a think tank called Sightline Institute, says Begich and Palin are vying for the same pool of voters.
They've really been focused on going after each other. It's sort of like a family feud.
It actually is a family feud. Begich is holding an Election Eve fundraiser at the Wasilla home of Jim and Faye Palin, Sarah Palin's ex-in-laws. If ranked choice voting is taking any venom out of the race, it's most evident in the campaign of Mary Peltola. The Democrat takes selfies with her rivals at every opportunity and posts them on her social media accounts. Peltola says she had a great time walking in the Golden Days parade in Fairbanks last month, beaming whenever she saw an attendee with a Palin or Begich sign.
They were surprised to see me smile and get excited that they had a sign, you know, as an opening for me to say, hey, you know, good choice. Please think of me second.
Peltola says the voters seemed so startled by her approach that they took it as humor. But she says she does have a lot in common with the Republicans in the race.
All three of us understand Alaska has to continue to pay its bills, and we are a resource extraction state.
Begich and Palin smile for her camera when Peltola takes her selfies with them. They apparently don't see any value in attacking the lone Democrat in the race. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Republican candidate Tara Sweeney filed to be a write-in candidate in Tuesday's special election to fill the remainder of late Congressman Don Young's term. Sweeney, a former Assistant Interior Secretary, finished fifth in the June special primary, just below the cutoff to have her name appear on the special general election ballot. Last month, she said she was shifting her focus to her campaign for the full two-year U.S. House seat. But on Thursday, Sweeney threw her hat into the special election ring after all. In a statement, she said she made the decision to enter as a write-in candidate after, quote, repeated requests from supporters asking for the option to support a candidate more closely aligned with their values and beliefs. And finally, we have a correction for a story we aired in this newscast on Wednesday about a pebble mine investor. The story included an erroneous currency conversion. Here are the correct numbers. Northern Dynasty Minerals received $12 million from a new unnamed investor. The investor signed an agreement for more potential investments totaling up to $60 million. Let's take a look at the weekend National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, lows in the mid-50s, light winds. Saturday, numerous rain showers, highs in the mid-60s, east winds to 15 miles per hour. Sunday, rain likely, highs around 60, east winds to 15 miles per hour. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, August 12th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.